people that have been here, some of them for over 25 years, they've heard it enough times that they could teach it themselves. But if you're new here, this is a doctrinal thing that hasn't changed. Now, this is called a dispensational chart, and don't let it freak you out. It just shows you different time periods of how God deals with certain things. And before I get into this stuff about the second coming again today, I wanted to make it very clear. Down here where Brother Larry, your deacon, one of your deacons is standing, down here is the new heaven and the new earth. Right before this comes the great white throne judgment. Now, it's important that you understand the difference in the great white throne judgment and the judgment seat of Christ. The great white throne judgment is for all people that are saved in a different time period than you were. The judgment seat of Christ is for people saved during the church age. There's nobody else judged at the judgment seat of Christ except those that are saved in the church age. You want to make sure you understand that. The church age receives their rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, those in the church age. There'll be gold, silver, precious stones, the right to rule and reign. There'll be crowns that'll be up there. There's five of those crowns. And I think Brother Woodard did a talk on that or a lesson on that last week. Now, it's important that you understand that, because if you get the two of these things confused, then you get to thinking, well, where does everybody else get their rewards? Answer, Revelation 11 clearly defines that. It comes at the great white throne judgment. That means everybody that's saved before the cross, everybody that's saved in the tribulation, everybody that's saved in the millennium, they get their reward here. This is not just the wicked dead that come up. The old teaching is that all the wicked dead get judged here and that all the other ones get judged here, but they're really the same thing. They're not the same thing. They're not spelled the same way. They're not in the same passages in Scripture, and they're not any connection to them whatsoever. This would have been here whether this was here or not, this judgment seat of Christ. This is only told about in the Pauline epistles. This was a mystery that was revealed to Paul. Nobody in the Old Testament knew about this. So it's important that you understand that first and foremost, that everybody is not saved the same way. It's a lazy man's way of saying everybody in the Old Testament gets saved looking forward to the cross and everybody in the New Testament gets saved looking back to the cross. Well, that's not true in the Bible, and I'm not going into all that, but it's not true. That's why people get their Bible all twisted up, get it all messed up, and then they say there's contradiction. There's no contradictions at all in the Bible. Example, and I use it all the time. In the Old Testament, if you were an Old Testament Jew and you're not a Jew and there's not replacement theology, you don't replace the Jew with the church. You're the church. You're separate from the Jew. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female in the body of Christ. You're Christians now. So you're a different group of individuals. So in the Old Testament, you couldn't eat anything, for instance, with shellfish or without fins and scales. So lobster and shrimp and catfish and those kind of things, slick-skinned fish, those kind of, you couldn't eat it. Yet the Apostle Paul tells you every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with prayer and thanksgiving. Oh, preacher, there's a contradiction in the Bible. No, there's not. You're not under the law anymore. In the Old Testament, they keep the Sabbath. When Jesus Christ comes, they keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a sign for the Jew. It's important that you understand that. You say, why? Because we meet the first day of the week, which is Sunday. It's not Monday. The first day of the week is Sunday. Bless you. It is not the last day of the week, which is when they met, which is Saturday. We're not Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness. We're not law keepers. The law's been nailed to the cross. We don't have to worry about that. I don't go back to the Levitical law. There may be some practical teaching in there I could learn some things from. But you're not under the bondage of the law. You're not saved by keeping the law. You're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift that's given to you. They didn't get the gift. They had certain things they had to do to get it and certain things they had to do to keep it. In the tribulation, during this time period here, which is where I'm trying to get to, during this time period right here, the gospel is not the same and is not the gospel of the grace of God. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You guys want to let your arms fall down for a minute and rest and then put them back up? You doing okay? All right. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And one of you fellows will find me a passage there in the Old Scofield Bible. It's on the left-hand page, the left-hand column, about three-quarters of the way down there. It'll be around 8, 9, or 10, where he'll say something to the effect of that there's no more second chance for you. That for because they wouldn't receive the love of the truth, God shall turn it. Could you read that to me real loud, Josh, please?
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie.
All right, so they believe a lie. Now let me ask you a question. If salvation is the same all the way across, how come it is that in the tribulation period, individuals that have heard the gospel of the grace of God, that's Paul's gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, how come he says they don't get to get in there? If it's the same all the way across, why would he make the change? Answer, there's a change. It goes back to a Jewish gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. Revelation 12 and Revelation 14 says, these are they which had the faith in Jesus Christ and kept the commandments. You don't have to keep any commandments. That's Jewish. That means you go back to a Jewish time frame. In the tribulation period, you go back to 360-day years, not 365, that's Gentile. In the tribulation period and in the millennial kingdom, thousand-year millennial reign of Christ, millennium is just a long word for millennial time period, a thousand-year time period, millennium, that's what that is. So what he says there is during the millennium, that time period is a 360-day year. That's Jewish time. You go back to counting Jewish time. How do you know? In Revelation, when you study the period called the tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, 69 weeks of the permanent life upon thy people Israel. 70 weeks of the permanent upon thy people Israel to finish the transgression. 69 have transgressed. Maybe even another half. I don't know. But the whole thing is that's on Israel. That means worldwide tribulation, but it's to the finish the transgression against Israel. No, I'm going fast, but I don't want to bore those of you that know this backwards, forward, sideways, and upside down. So it's important for you to understand that when they step off into the tribulation, you're going back to a Jewish gospel. That's the Jesus Christ is coming. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of the kingdom. That's keeping the commandments. Why? Jewish. 144,000 male virgin Jews. Who comes to preach? Moses and Elijah to the nation of Israel. You want to make sure that you get that. You say, how do you get saved in the tribulation? Don't worry about it. You're not going to be here.
Amen.
And anybody most likely that you talk to now that you were to tell them what to do in the tribulation like all these books do, you don't need to worry about them. They're lost. The Bible says they receive strong delusion. God sends them strong delusion. The devil doesn't deceive them. God deceives them because they reject the truth. There's an important truth in what I just said. God doesn't put up with you when you start putting question marks in His book. And God will let you be deceived and run off the deep end and wind up getting messed up as a soup sandwich. When you start matching intellect with His intellect, the Bible says God will send them strong delusion. You mess with that book, God will mess with your mind. It'll get you twisted every which way for Sunday. You have to believe it by faith. Anybody that messes with a book, that messes with the blood, the deity, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, what we would call fundamentals of the faith, they're messed up. So what do? Don't argue with them. You discount them. Paul says, mark them that don't have it and stay away from them. There's no point arguing with them. You say, why? Their mind is messed up. You say, how do you know? Because the Bible says the devil takes them captive at their will and they can't recover themselves unless the Lord will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. If they don't accept the truth, you can't help them. You can argue till you're caught and picking blue in the face with a Jehovah's Witness or a Seventh-day Adventist, and they'll fire as many scriptures at you as you fire at them, and you'll never convince them that they're wrong at all because they've been deceived. You say, why? They've got a problem in their own heart. I realize that sounds hard. That's not Baptist theology. That's Bible theology. A lot of Baptists don't teach this stuff at all. They just go with this, oh, well, I just believe and all that, and then leave you, you know, stupid and ignorant, don't know anything. Well, what about this thing in Hebrews, preacher, where it looks like these individuals lost their salvation? Well, they do lose their salvation. But it ain't you. So you can shout all the way and say, man, what a great gift I gave him. He gave me. He sealed me to the day of redemption. It's not hinging on me. He has my salvation. I don't have my salvation, and I might mess up and get out of fellowship, but I can't lose my salvation. That's not, as Swaggart used to say, a damnable Baptist doctrine. It ain't a Baptist doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine. And the rapture is not something that started in 1800 with a guy named Darby. It did not start there with some little girl who had some kind of too much pizza for dinner or smoked something she shouldn't have smoked, seaweed or something, and wound up saying she had a vision. It started with Paul. Paul believed he was going to get raptured. Paul's standing out there looking over the graveyard, and he says, the Lord says to him, write this down, Paul. He said, what do you want me to write, Lord? He said, what I want you to write is that, don't worry about them that sleep. Right? Don't worry. Don't sorrow as those that have no hope. Those that are asleep in Christ, the Lord will bring with Him. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what he said to Paul. Paul's going around saying, comfort yourself. You're not in the tribulation. You're not in the tribulation. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't sweat it. You're not in it. I know you're seeing all these things happening, but you're not in the tribulation. But he was looking to get raptured out of here. That's called the imminent return. You say, well, you know, he has to fulfill the amount of days. God don't have to fulfill nothing to make your calendar fit. God can snatch you out of here whenever he's good and ready. Hallelujah. You should be ready to meet him right now. I wish he'd come into the sky and we'd blast out through the ceiling right now. It'd be good for me. I don't have nothing to worry about. Don't get too excited. Make your spiritual gallbladder bust or something here this morning. I mean, you're just going to have a glorified body. You're just going to live forever. You're never going to sin again. Don't get too excited about that. Get excited about who won the cotton picking ball game yesterday or some other kind of thing that you think's important in your life. I'm just talking about what I love. People say, you need to calm down. You need to get a life. Yeah, it's a free country. I still live in a place where I can say what I want to say, right? I'm exercising my right as a free American. I choose to shout about Jesus. Why do you want to shut me down? Nobody shuts you down at a ball game. They shut you down in here. Nobody shuts you down when you're shouting at each other in your house because you got mad about something stupid. Like which way you turn the toilet paper on the roll or which way you squeeze the toothpaste. You can argue over stupid things. Don't tell me you don't. That's what we argue. We don't over-argue ever over anything significant. You please take your shoes off before you come in. Yeah, I forgot again. Well, I've been telling you that for 40 years now. I know. Well, I'll get it eventually. I'll get it right 2 out of 10 times. Oh, man, good night. Now this stuff is gravely important for you to understand it so that you keep your Bible right. The Bible's not written to make you just this confused conundrum all the time where you're just always in a twist and you're just nervous and I just don't really know and understand. I think I can lose it. I might. Can I? I think I prayed the right prayer. I'm not really sure. No, man, you have a more sure word of prophecy. The Lord's already told you what He did and He settled it in heaven.
Amen.
Quit doubting everything. Example, you doubt one thing in that Bible, you bring everything in that Bible in question. How many questions got Eve in trouble? One question. You know what you do? This is why I get upset about people that do that. I'll get to this in just a second. You say, why? You cast doubt on one thing in that Bible, you're casting doubt on my plan of salvation and my eternal security. I don't appreciate that at all. There's times I think, you know, when I'm bouncing around up there like a BB in a boxcar, I'm thinking, well, this could be it. I have to think about it for a minute, think, well, if it is, I'm saved. I just hope it goes fast.
Yeah.
Really fast.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You start messing with that, you don't realize what you're doing. You're undermining the peace that God gives to all of us.
Amen.
That keeps your heart and minds through what? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, nobody can say that definitively. You're an idiot.
With
all due respect, I know it's church on Sunday. You are an idiot. All right, now watch this. I can feel this. I can feel this heat sensation coming up in the back of my neck. Hey, don't worry, it ain't the touch of the Holy Ghost. It's my flesh because I'm wanting to say stuff that I shouldn't be saying right now. Justin, I'm glad you're here, man. I've been praying for y'all. I missed y'all. Good to see you. Don't get accustomed to sitting up there. Okay, just telling you. That's the graveyard up there. I'm just saying. Nobody ever wants to pull out chairs down here but kids. Everybody, never mind. I'm getting going the wrong way. Where was I at? All right, down here where Brother Larry's at. He's a great white but on judgment. Now here's where I want you to make sure you understand. The time period that we're going to talk about has to do with the tribulation period. That's a period that's determined upon Israel. That's a period of time that you, as the Bible-believing Christian, because you're saved, not because you're a Baptist, because you're saved, you are excluded from that time period. So when I talk about the second coming of Christ, I am not talking about this where Brother TK's hand is here. It's talking about receiving the church up here. That's the rapture of the church. That happens before this time period. When I talk about the second coming of Christ, it's at the end of this time period. So when we find the scriptures or the passages that we're talking about, many of the passages that I give you and have given you already and will give you will show emphasis of this time period. Do not put yourself in those passages. You're nowhere in this time period. Every time you mark it in your Bible, you can put a little TY by it. Just say, you know, or maybe a TYJ. Thank you, Jesus. I ain't going to be here. Thank you, Jesus. I ain't going to be here. Thank you, Jesus. I ain't going to be here. You could stamp that on Revelation chapter number 4 all the way through to Revelation 19 and say, thank you, Jesus. I ain't going to be here. And don't believe these blooming idiots. I mean that sincerely and I mean it emphasis exactly where I put it. Blooming, crazy, insane idiots that are trying to tell you that you're in the tribulation now, that the four horsemen of the apocalypse are riding now, that you're already going through the moons and the trumpets are already going off and the vials are going off and the seals are going off. That Bible tells you in the tribulation there'll be a time such as has never been before. Well, you're not seeing nothing like that, even if you lived in some other foreign country right now. If you were in a hospital and got bombed out or whatever, it has nothing to do with what's going on in the tribulation. And the tribulation, the devil has free reign. He doesn't have free reign right now. He's under the authority of the Lord. The Lord can jump in anytime He wants to. This part of my Sunday morning message, but it's a good place for me to stick it in here. The devil is ruling over the earth, but the Lord chooses at any time to exercise His authority when He wants. You say, how does He do that? Well, for instance, He told me I was going to hell. He said, you're going to hell. And I said, yeah, well, I want to trust Jesus Christ. And the devil said, you can't trust Jesus Christ. Jesus said, excuse me, I believe I'll take the upper hand there. I believe I'll be the one that'll change your mind on that right there. I'll step in and tell you that how does he get to do that? Because of me. Don't forget who the boss is. Now run along. He's mine now. Leave him alone. He can't take me to hell now. You say, why? Because I'm saved. Even if I lived like it and I try not to, he can't take me there. Well, I just believe if you lived like it, you wouldn't. I just believe if you couldn't control your gossip and tongue, you must not be either. You're always worried about what everybody else is doing. Stay in your own lane, run your own race, keep your nose on your own paper. Didn't you learn anything in school? Don't be cheating off my paper. I know I'm saved. You need to know if you're saved or not. You don't judge your salvation by whether or not I'm better than you or worse than you. You're a fool. You don't judge that. Did you get saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Is there a time in your life where God dealt with you personally, not as a nation, as an individual? Did you come to Him as a sinner? Yeah. I've always been in church and I'm a good person, you know, and everything, and I just always, you're a fool. You're going to hell. That hell will be full of preachers and stuff like that that did good things all the time. You say, they'll be so full of hell down there, their feet will be sticking out the window. Yeah, preachers. Just because you're a preacher don't mean you're saved. A lot of unsaved preachers. A lot of unsaved church members. We can't tell if you're saved or not. You know if the Holy Spirit just tagged you. Here's a clue. If you're ashamed to say the name of Jesus Christ, yeah, that's good. Thank you, fellas. You're ashamed to say the name of Jesus. Well, let me cover this one more thing. Just hang on. If you're ashamed to speak the name of the one that saved you, if you're constantly ducking this, well, me and the man upstairs, and you know, me and him, and we tight, and there's something wrong with you. If you're afraid to say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, they don't care if you say God, they don't care if you say Lord, it's when you invoke deity and when you say the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. At the name of Jesus. Is that what he says? Why are you so afraid to say Jesus? I'll guarantee you this, it won't be a cuss word when it comes time for you to go through trouble. It won't be, you know, some slang word that comes out there. At the name of Jesus, I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If you haven't done that, you're what we call lost. That means you're headed for hell. This is as close to heaven as you'll ever get. We'll try to make it as comfortable for you as possible because you're going to burn forever. I just don't believe that a loving God would do that. Okay, fool, go ahead with your beliefs. Let me ask you this, have you ever been wrong about anything? What if you're wrong about that? You like to face a holy God that gets up there and says to you, I'll ask you a question, sure. How come you were putting your emphasis and your ideas on my words? Smart fellow, are you? I'm up here now. Come on, give me your theological discussion now. I'd rather stand up there and go, I was an idiot. I just figured you said what you meant what you said. Well, you know, if you'd have looked a little further at the originals, didn't think there was none. Never seen them, couldn't read them if you sent them around. Don't know that from Chinese arithmetic, as far as I know. You mean you were that stupid? Yes, sir. I just believed if you could save my soul, you could certainly preserve a book. So, sorry if I was wrong. No, you were right. Come on in. Just check it. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be some of them other individuals that sit there and say, you can wait and stay after school for a little while. Boy, you talk about the terror of the Lord. That's for Christians. And you're not going to go to hell, but there's some kind of terror there. And one of them terrors is for doubting what He says. And making people doubt it. That's the only reason the intellects come along, is to try to get a following to make people doubt something.
Yep.
Just accept it and let's preach about something else.
Amen.
That's a tough thing. The 1,000-year reign of Christ, you'll be down here ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. Why? You'll have gotten your rewards by up here where Brother TK's left hand is. Now, what does that have to do about the Old Testament? Well, I'm going to preach to you out of the Old Testament. The things in the Old Testament are in for our learning and our admonition. The whole thing started in a garden. Had to do with food, had to do with the decision that Eve made. And when Eve made that, Adam fell with Eve, and then the whole thing went to south in a handbasket after that time. And every time the Lord intervened and pulled them back out, man got a hold of it, dropped it down again, the Lord pulled it out every time, until here then they crucified Him. It always ends in man's failure. Don't you ever put any hope in man. You say, why? History has proven, of course people don't learn from history because they never study history. History has proven everything you've ever put your cotton-picking hands on, you failed at it. As a society, we're no good. So what the Lord does, He shows His grace by extending His hand and saying, I'll help you out. How dare you take credit for that? You say, what did you do? I came to Jesus Christ as a lost sinner going to hell. If you haven't, then you're not saved. You don't come to Jesus as a good person. You come to Him as the scum of the earth. An outcast. Southerners, that's real hard on you. You know, I'm better than them Yankees up there. We ain't still fighting the Civil War. I'm better than people in the jail. You're headed for hell. Question to you. You read your New Testament? Sure, I read the New Testament all the time. It's what's written to us. Okay, good. Let me ask you this. Who did Jesus spend His time getting on to? The people that were the outcasts or the Pharisees and the publicans? It's hard to say Republicans. I think one of them was Democrat and one of them was Republican. I just said that just to upset you, because some of you people think that politics belongs in the pulpit. I don't care who you vote for. I wish whoever voted for whatever's in there now would come and admit it and just get right over it. You honestly think you put them people in the office?
Nope.
How's that working out for you? You've lost your mind. Think you have that kind of control. That's them feeding you a line to make you feel like you're in control of something. Oh, they're elected by the majority. You're smoking crack, man. Well, preacher, don't you think? Don't go out here and say, I didn't say don't vote. I never said that. Somebody fire me off another letter. But here's the thing you're going to do. Or now it's an email. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, don't get hung up on the affairs of this earth. This is a temporary place. It's a vacation spot. You're down here passing through. Question, you spend all your time and all your energy and all your effort trying to make something, and then you die and don't take none of it with you. What's the sense in that? You see, you just kind of like, well, I never really thought about it. Well, let me ask you, you seen the U-Haul behind a hearse lately? Most of that's done for reputation. I mean, I believe in having a certain amount of comfort and things like that and taking care of things. But you know what? All of a sudden, you get ready to die and the Lord's like, what'd you do? Well, I spent 70 years making everything I could make. Yeah, what are you doing with it now? You know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to look at some of you and say, you didn't do nothing with that for me? Why, you're like the individual that took that money and buried it in the ground. Invested it in the earth. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach on tithing. I don't even believe in it. Not for y'all. Okay, go ahead. I think we're done for right now. Yeah, I believe so. Y'all are bad, man. Y'all are fans of, look at you. I'm serious. I'm done. It don't matter. Roll it, put it up, do whatever you want to do. I'm going to have to quit here in just a minute. That was all introduction. Now, don't go out of here. Listen, I got to be careful and have to qualify. I'm going to preach out of Malachi this morning. Some of you, the only message you've ever heard is Malachi 3:10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. So I want to make sure you clearly understand you're not under the law and you don't have to give a cotton-picking dime. And if you're visiting with us, we don't want your money. I might want a little piece of your hide today, but we don't want any money. Say, why? This will probably be the only time some of you ever come. You're already frustrated. You're going to cut out of here right after Sunday school. You say, why? Because you never heard somebody tell you the Bible or talk to you that way. You think, everybody, hey, how are you? Good to have you. We're so glad you're here. Let me teach you how to be a better you. I can tell you how to be a better you. Trust Jesus Christ and get saved first, and then sell out to Him. That's the answer to your problem. You can work yourself to death. You'll never be a better you. Because once you get to what you think is a better you, everybody around you will be thinking, you're a conceited donkey. I got a million things running through my mind right now. Here's the thing that you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen. When it comes to tithing, you're not under the law. That's a Jewish principle. God taught them, you give to me, you need to know where it's coming from. You're to give as God's prospered you. And you know what? The stipulation is God loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't like somebody that's stingy or whatever. So if you don't want to give it, don't give it. You say, why? He loves a cheerful giver. You're not to give grudgingly or out of necessity. You don't have to give. That's the New Testament. There's your contradiction nobody ever preaches on. All these people talking about contradictions in the Bible, they're still preaching Malachi 3:10 to you every time they turn around. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse. Come down here and put your pledge card in here and tell us how much your budget is. Turn in your W-2 and W-9 and then we'll look at what your income is, and then we want you to tithe off the gross and don't tithe off the net and all that other kind of foolishness and stuff like that. And if you don't, God's going to blow up your water heater. God will get His tithe out of you one way or another. He'll put you in the hospital. What you going to do, stupid? I'm saying this to the people preaching that. When an individual gets on a fixed income and they're doing all they can to put food on the table, how are you going to teach that? Well, you know, God's supposed to take care of them and God's supposed to bless them. You're trying to build a building, stupid. You ain't fooling me. You're trying to get bills paid and stuff like that. You're not fooling me. That's not biblical at all. The biblical way is you give as God's prospering and you give willingly. You give, I don't give out of necessity. You give because you want to give. I teach if you're in fellowship with the Lord will tell you what you need to be doing. But I don't know if you've noticed this or not. Sometimes you have family emergencies that arise at your house. Sometimes people wind up in the hospital. I'll say something now. It's going to really hair lip some of you, I guarantee you. And I guarantee you they're going to fill up the inbox with what I'm about to say. Some of you don't even take into consideration that there's individuals under the bondage of tithing and they don't pay their bills and they don't pay their child support and they tithe to their churches, but their testimony in the world stinks because they don't pay their child support, and they take money from people that don't pay their child support and they don't pay their bills and they don't feel guilty about it at all. I'm telling you right now in front of everybody, in front of however many people listening or broadcasting or whatever, you better not come in here and give money here when your bills ain't paid. Pay your bills. Amen. God takes care of what needs to be took care of here. And if He don't take care of it, then we don't need it. Amen. You ain't got nothing to worry about at all. You can be completely relaxed. If nothing ever comes up out of that ground but a parking lot, then it'll just be a parking lot. Amen. What are we going to do? We're going to see what God does. I'm not worried about it at all. I mean, we'll fill this up till we look like sardines in a can. We'll open up the windows if we got to, or kick a wall out or something. Don't worry about getting into some multi-million dollar monstrosity or something like that. We got room now to park. Eventually, Lord willing, we'll pave it. If the money's there, and if it ain't, we'll wait till it is. But don't sit there and say, well, you know, I made a commitment to give money to the building program. I didn't ask for no commitments. Ask for no pledges. We don't ask for you to pledge every year. You don't know what's going to happen to you in a year. You're pledging as if you're going to be here for a year. You're pledging as if you're not going to wind up in the hospital. You're pledging as if you're not going to lose your job. You're pledging as if you're not going to get sick or some tragedy is not going to happen. You're a fool. You can't make that. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You say, why? Your number may be up today. Then what are we going to do? We base your waste our budget on your pledge? Don't you know by now Christians are liars? I'm sorry. I'm thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I'm just feeling a little my oats this morning or something. But don't you know by now Christians lie? Why would you base a budget on what somebody had and then send them every quarter, send them a bill telling them they're behind in their payment to the church? That's Roman Catholicism. That's not us. I don't care if every Baptist church you've ever been to does that, and I don't care what preacher preaches it. I don't believe for you that you should be under that kind of bondage.
Amen.
I think you ought to pay your cotton picking bills.
Amen.
I've got this worldwide ministry. I'm a minister of God. Really? I've noticed that your wife's filed a lien against you and everything else because you hadn't paid your bill, you hadn't paid your child support, and you tell you love your kids, but you're not abiding by the law. Sorry, I got a problem with that. Say what? I guarantee there's a wife and kids that's bitter at God because you're claiming to be some kind of a preacher and some kind of a church member. You're not. Well, I just don't think it was right. You're not allowed to say what's right or wrong. The judge ordered it. You got to pay it.
Amen.
Well, I don't know why they're coming to pay your bills.
Amen.
You know, how come they hooked your car up? It wasn't the devil. You didn't pay your bills. My goodness, I couldn't have cranked my car this morning, it wouldn't crank up. I wonder why you hadn't changed oil in it in 6 months. It's not the devil in your car. You were too lazy to change oil. Sorry, is that too plain for you? You look a little swole up this morning. You have to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. When it comes to this thing about God and the church and the Bible and all this kind of stuff, the practicality of the things that God teaches in the Bible is much more important than all the deep, doctrinal, heavy stuff. The old president said one time, they said, "You believe everything in the Bible?" He said, "I do." He said, "Do you understand all the Bible?" He said, "No, I don't understand it." And he said, "But the things I do understand, that's the things that give me a concern." In other words, I understand enough of it to create enough problems for me. I don't need to understand any more of it. I'm having trouble with what I do understand about it. The Bible's pretty clear about that. Listen, that Bible says that you've been set free. He said, "I came to set the captives free." Anybody in the name of religion that puts you in bondage is doing the work of the devil. You're free. You're free. You have a free will. You can choose to do what you want to do. You don't serve Jesus Christ because He holds a gun to your head and says He's going to blow up your water heater if you don't give Him money. Like He needs your money. What does He need your money for? It's all His anyway. He's the one that gave it to you to begin with. What does He need what He made in the first place? It's just you showing Him, "Lord, I know where it came from. I'm just letting you know I'm investing in what you're doing down here, and you can trust me with it when you give it to me. But it ain't going, I got to do this or God's going to kill me." And what would that prove? That He was God? Oh, I forgot. It was that you were so special that God took time out of His day to make you an example by killing you because you meant so much to Him. You know what He'll let you do? He'll let you be a spiritual train wreck. He'll let you run right off in a ditch, run right off in the wrong doctrine, run right off in breaking your fellowship. And at the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will say, "Come on up here now, we're going to talk. Smart aleck. Lord, you did all that to me. I didn't do none of that to you. You self-destructed. You pick and choose what you want to believe and obey and get bitter with God and get mad at God. I'm not going to church anymore." The Lord's like, "Okay, so that makes me not God anymore?" God's not like up there needing psychotherapy or some group session where He's up there going, "I'm worried about what they think about me." Hey, whether or not you think about Him a certain way doesn't change who He is. I'm so worried about what they think about me. God really does not care what you think about Him. He is very, very reassured in what He is and who He is. He's not basing who He is based on what you think. You say, "How do you know?" By His first name in the Bible. I am. Pretty definitive. I am. That means I'm the poster child for everything that is. I am. Me. How come somebody out of Texas just reading, or wherever the fellow's from, just recently wrote a book called I Am? He didn't write it about God. He wrote it about people. It's a bestseller. There's 30,000 on average in attendance every Sunday. Over 1 million tune in and listen. Some of y'all, from the looks of your face, you're kind of like, "Well, I was kind of reading that. I'm just trying to be a better me." That's His other one, be a better you. Well, you draw people like flies. Let me just say this about flies. Flies are very indiscriminate. You can't tell what substance flies gather around. I've seen flies around pecan pie and coconut cake. I also seen them around the Porta Johnny. Just because there's a bunch of flies gathering somewhere don't mean that the substance is right. Is that too straight for you? You're not too sophisticated. If you are, then you need to come down a couple of notches to where we are. You say what? Where regular people live. Common, ordinary folks. We can't buy your way out of who you are. You can dress you up, but you can't take you out of who you are. you still common, ordinary people. I don't care if God's blessed you beyond measure. Don't forget where you came from, and don't forget who it is that gave you whatever made you successful. It wasn't you. I just applied myself. You're a fool. You ever take time? I'm on my message this morning already. But have you ever taken time to just look around you, what God's blessed you with? You ever look at your wife and your kids, your husband? You ever look at your health? You ever look at what all God's done for you? You ever stop to think about that? How dare you question what God does in your life? If He snatched the rug out from underneath every one of us right now, we've had better than we deserve. And what do you deserve? As the old preacher says, you deserve to be in hell with your back broke. Why aren't I there? God's grace. God's been good to me. That has nothing to do with financial. How's He been good to me? He saved me. I'm not going to hell like some of you. I said it right. I'm not going to hell like some of you. There's some of you in here that do not have a testimony of your salvation. When were you saved? I just always been. You're a fool. When did you get saved? Do you need me to tell you again? I'll tell you again. I don't ever get tired of telling about it. I know when I was saved. I know when God dealt with me. Well, He's just kind of always kind of been in the back part of my mind. Yeah, and He'll stay right there till you're dead. And when you lose your mind, He'll be gone. You say, where will He be? He doesn't get down there in hell. He'll be down there. David says, though I make my bed in hell, thou art there. But He won't save you anymore. Once you're there, there ain't no coming back. All this foolishness coming back. I was in hell 15 minutes. And I came back out. The Bible says to you over there in the book of Luke, He says, even if somebody resurrected from the dead, you wouldn't believe them. So if you don't believe the law and the prophets, meaning the Bible, you're not going to believe though one rose from the dead. Those people aren't having big crusades. I went, took a trip to heaven and made a movie out of it. You expect Hollywood to get on that and make millions of dollars off of it. Stupid Christians filling up theaters to go see something about a four-year-old kid that walks around. You should have enough sense to know when He said angels have wings, you should know, well, He didn't see the heaven. He might have seen a facade made up by the... He didn't see heaven. You say, hey, no, angels ain't got wings. Amen. Cherubim and seraphim do, but angels don't. Amen. I've never... Such blasphemy coming out of the pulpit. You don't even read your Bible. That's right. Everywhere in that Bible an angel shows up, he shows up as a male, and he shows up without wings. Right. And you can entertain angels unaware, and you wouldn't even know who they are because they look like a people. Right. A blonde-haired, blue-eyed female. Zechariah chapter number 5, the only stork-winged female individual is a demonic thing riding around on an thing that looks like an ephod over there in the plains of Shinar that shows up in the tribulation period. It's interesting that certain churches would have you believe in female angels. You go be touched by an angel. I don't want to be touched by an angel. I don't care if she is black or whatever color she is. I don't want to be touched by no angel. I want to be touched by God. Well, we're shot out now. I didn't even get on my deal. Okay, well, stand by for chapter 2 in the service this morning. But, folks, it's important that you understand this stuff. You say, why? Once you get a good, solid doctrinal foundation, it keeps you from being blown around with every wind of doctrine. It gets you locked in. And then you can take that Bible and look at it and go, man, somebody loses their salvation there. I know it ain't me. Let me just pause for a second and say, thank God that I'm not that Jew in the tribulation having to go through worrying about whether or not the mark of the beast showed up. I got a whole sermon. I don't think the Lord's going to let me preach it, but I got a whole sermon. It's a scathing report on all of these false prophets going out and telling you that less than 10 days ago, there was supposed to be a comet hit you. There was supposed to be all kind of natural disasters take place, volcanoes going off, earthquakes going off, financial distress. Jade Helm was going to take over. Martial law was going to be proclaimed. You were going to have the Shemitah and the blood moon. The financial markets were going to collapse. I don't know if all that's ever going to happen or not, but they said it was going to happen on a particular date. Some of y'all got wrapped up in all that. So what do you think? Well, you're still here. What do you think? Yeah. Stick with the Bible. Right. You say, what is that? Well, if you hadn't figured it out by now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. It's to get your money. For food and supplies. In case something happens. For your own self-preservation and welfare. Right. You ever look at how many ads are connected to that stuff? Every one of them has stuff that connects to your computer behind the scenes to have pop-ups come in there because that's how they make their money. They make their money off of advertising. That's not even biblical. The way ministries are supposed to be supported are through the local church. Don't throw up in your mouth. That's how it's supposed to be done. There's an order to things. Well, I don't believe in that order.
Okay, well, do whatever you want to do. It's a free country.